You are listening to Strolling Down Main Street, episode 10, part 1. Today we are talking about our ideal one day in the Disneyland park. Hey everybody, it's Susie.
And Greg.
Welcome to Strolling Down Main Street. If this is your first time listening, then thanks for coming. You can find us at www.strollingdms.wordpress.com. Come back often and feel free to subscribe on iTunes. All links are in the show notes. Now, let's get strolling. Da 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 da! Episode 10, part 1. So, the idea behind these episodes, part 1 and part 2, will be what we would recommend as an ideal day in the park. And this is, I think we might have said this in another podcast, but this is if you are only going for one day and you are not ever going back. So that's what we kind of based the structure of it around. So keep that in mind with everything that we're saying.
And if you haven't already listened to episode 9, because there's a few things.
It's kind of like a primer for these ones. With yeah. Like stuff about the more practical things like the max passes, hotels.
Fast pass, photo pass, yeah. Things like that. So that we're not going to really explain any of that.
Yeah, we're just going to assume that that's kind of already understood or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so again, these are just like recommendations based on our experience. If you've never been, you're going for one day, and you will not be going again.
And just so you guys know, Susie wrote up this one. I'll be writing up the California Adventure one.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'll talk about it a bit, but we didn't really collaborate in.
No, this was kind of like my thoughts. Bit, but like bouncing ideas. But yeah.
So I don't know.
Probably reflects our individual.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what she's written yet. Yeah. So.
Okay, so. First thing, breakfast at the Carnation Cafe before the park opens, which actually we're going to be doing.
Right when it opens.
Right when it opens. Yeah. That's what we're going to be doing, actually, on our upcoming trip. So the park opens at 9 on that day, and we're going at 9:10 or whatever. So Carnation Cafe is just on Main Street. It's a really nice place. We've only gone there for lunch before, but there's, like, indoor seating and outdoor seating. It's just, like, it's not, like, character dining or anything, but it's a little less expensive in that way because like the character dining is always like a buffet generally, so you're paying like the pretty hefty fee for the buffet. Making sure it's recording. And I don't know, I mean generally we don't eat enough at the buffets for it to warrant like $35, so we kind of just were like, it's nice to just go somewhere, get your Mickey waffle, pay your $12, and that's kind of nice, and it's like nice atmosphere still and everything, so that's the option that's a little bit cheaper, perhaps, and also just a little bit more low-key. I did put another option, which is the Storyteller's Cafe, which is character dining, and that's in the Grand Californian, which we have done that for breakfast before, but when we did it, they had the option to just order off the menu, like single items. They do not have that anymore, so they are now lumped in with the same kind of buffet only option. So that would be a more expensive option. And also it's like not actually in the parks, it's in the hotel, but it is really, really beautiful inside there.
And just for anyone who is interested in the character dining, a lot, I think all of them are breakfasts now. Because Ariel's Grotto is gone. So I think they're all breakfast. Yeah. And just be aware, if you have kids that are a fan of certain characters, they're all different at the different locations.
Yes.
Like you're not going to get Chip and Dale anywhere else. You'll get them at Storyteller's Cafe.
Yep.
You'll get Goofy at Goofy's Kitchen. You'll get, I think sometimes they have different people at all of them. But there's, if you have a kid who's a huge fan of somebody, check.
Yeah, do your research.
Westrum they might be at.
Yeah. good point. So after breakfast, you must go and get your first visit button at the front kiosks. So when you come in the front gates of Disneyland, to the left and the right, there are these kiosks where they sell all kinds of merchandise and stuff, but if you ask the person who is manning that post, they have all kinds of pins or buttons that you can put on your shirt, and one of them is your first visit. So you can put that on your shirt, and you will for sure get some comments from the cast members saying kind of like, welcome, and probably nice to have you, and things like that.
And if they don't have them at that kiosk, there's also at the signpost in the middle of the park.
Yeah.
Like right in the...
Where the ride waiting times are there.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of that area. Anyways.
Our cats are currently fighting each other.
Battling over the cat tree.
Battling over the cat tree.
Also City Hall.
Yes.
We'll have them.
Yes.
Just the City Hall also has more information and stuff like that, so a lot of time there's a longer lineup there.
Yes, because there's other purposes.
Like if you've got wheelchair accessibility and things like that, if you're going to get any of those passes or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's essentially it is the customer service.
Yes.
So lineups are normally longer there. Better option is the ride sign or front of the front.
Yeah.
Kiosks there.
Obviously, this is... made a note, it's only if this is appropriate, which, like I said, we're assuming this is your first time, so Greg is going to try and mellow out our sassy cat. Okay, so the next thing, and this is obviously, this is a very personal one, is to take the train around the park. So as growing up in my family, whenever we went to the Disneyland park, first thing we did was we hopped on the train and we took a full round of the park. So that's like close to my heart to do that. I also think though it's kind of just a nice way for somebody to kind of start the day in a not overwhelming way. So like you get on the train and you just kind of get to chill for, how long is it?
Just probably
15 minutes.
15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. And you kind of get a... overview of the park, and you get some little fun displays in between with the dinosaurs and the, you know, little back view of Splash Mountain, and it just kind of gives you a sense of kind of how all the lands are interconnected, because they kind of like depending on which land goes into the next kind of thing. So it's a full go round of the park. It's like just a soothing and slow start to the day, and it kind of just gives you a chance to get your bearings in the park a little bit before you kind of really get into it.
And if you get a chance to, if you're on it and it's not too busy, a lot of time you'll be able to talk to like the conductor and stuff like that. They're like all the other cast members, they're very friendly.
They're a wealth of knowledge, and also like the one we didn't talk to her directly, but we heard her talking to another group of people, and just you kind of hear some interesting things about working there too, which is kind of fun. Like,
yeah,
because she was talking all about what it's like to work there and how much she loves it and stuff. So
so it's a good opportunity to chat somebody up, especially if it's not too busy. So you can always sit in the car that's got the conductor there.
Then after that. So if you do the full go-around, you'll end up back at the Main Street station, and then...
just one note with that. I don't think Main Street station is wheelchair or stroller accessible. I think you have to go to one of the other ones.
Oh.
So if you have that, you can bring your stroller up. You can't bring them on the trains. But if you're in a wheelchair or you have a stroller, you can't carry upstairs.
Yeah.
You'll have to get on and off at another one.
Yes.
Just a word of caution.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. The next thing is take a stroll down Main Street. Get it? So I put a note to come back later for shopping. Like, there's plenty of time for shopping later. Get into the meat first. Take a stroll down. Take in the atmosphere. It's a really fun street. Lots of little details. So just kind of, if you can, like, the idea is, although you only have the one day, is to not rush and to kind of really take it in, because there is so much to take in, and it really enhances the trip if you kind of just take notice of all the little details as you go from thing to thing.
Well, I don't know if I'd want to use this as a wrap-up or whatever, but I want to say it so I don't forget it. I feel like if you take your time and try and enjoy the place, even if you only planned on ever going there once, I feel like you're going to want to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you rush through it and just see it as a big chore and crowds and stuff like that, we both talked about it, we don't think you're going to have a fun time, and you're probably never going to want to go back.
Yeah.
It's going to be busy and expensive is going to be...
Well, yeah, and this is a totally... I don't know the right word is biased, presumptuous opinion. My thought is that if you do Disneyland right, I think everyone can find enjoyment in being there.
Yeah.
Like, I think even the person who thinks that they could not possibly like it would like it if they did it the right way. But that's very presumptuous.
Yeah, well, there's something for everyone to enjoy there.
Yes.
It's
so varied.
Yeah, there's so much detail and everything like that. Like just going through and appreciating all the work that went into the stuff. And
totally.
Yeah.
So the next thing is Adventureland. So the first thing to do in Adventureland is the Tiki Room. This is an oldie and a silly one, but it's a goodie because it's just so quintessential classic Disneyland, and and Walt was so involved in its development, you just have to do it. You're probably going to feel really silly, especially if you're just a couple of adults in there, but it's worth doing. I won't give too much away, but essentially you go in and it's basically just a musical of birds and flowers, and it's fun. It'll put a smile on your face for sure.
And it's all, like I said, I haven't participated too much in the planning of this one, but like it's a good one to go to first too, because you're probably not going to wait too long.
No.
To get in,
because it takes in batches of people, and I don't know how many people fit in there, maybe 50 or
something like that.
Yeah, so somewhere. It's like you're never going to be waiting, you're only waiting for the next show to start, which is only going to be 15 minutes or something. So the next thing I have is the Jungle Cruise. So this is another one, obviously all the ones we've listed I would deem a no miss, but this one has also been around for a long time, and it is just a really fun time. The lineup's really cool, in that like you kind of feel immersed in that jungle atmosphere already, and then you basically, the concept of the ride is that you hop on a kind of safari type boat, I guess you would call it, and you have your skipper who's driving, and they're kind of the star of the show, and then you go around the jungle and you see all the different animals and tribes and all kinds of different things, and basically the skipper brings it all to life by kind of making their very sometimes very bad jokes, but you still find yourself laughing. And sorry, our cats are being cuckoo. And yeah, you just do a full round of the jungle and you get some laughs in, and yeah, it's just fun. You really feel like you're kind of in the jungle, which is cool.
Not much else to add to that one.
Yeah. And then after that, Indiana Jones.
Yeah, though this is the first one on the list that has Fastpass available.
Fastpass, and also, I don't know if Jungle Cruise has ride restrictions. Height restrictions?
I don't think so.
No, so Indiana Jones has height restriction. I cannot remember at the moment what it is, but so if you have little ones, this is probably not going to be for them.
It's also dark, scary, and bouncy.
Yes, but it is a blast. I won't really say much. The lineup is awesome. It's very immersive. You feel like you are in the Indiana Jones world from basically the moment you're in the outside lineup, and then all the way through the inside lineup. It's all caves and hieroglyphics and...
Yeah, I think some different name for
props,
it.
Props, all kinds of cool props, and then obviously you get down below and you get loaded into like the jeeps, and I think we talked about it in our Magic
Minute.
Well, I was
going to say, yeah, we'll plug our other ones that are lots of the rides we're going to talk about in our Magic Minutes. So
yeah.
If you're ever curious about one.
But yeah, like Greg said, it's bouncy, it's adventure, it's fast-paced, it's, you're just like, it's such an experience. Like, it is so very immersive. Like, you just feel like you are right in that world, which is so cool. And it's very thrilling. Like, you get off and you're just, like, totally jazzed, which I think is, like, a really good way to kind of get yourself into the ride mindset, where it's, like, yeah, you're kind of ready for some more thrills after that.
Yeah.
It gets your heart going. I will give this one a mention, but I've put it as a skip. So I will mention basically everything that there is, but like that there is available to do, but I will mention if it's something that I would recommend skipping if you only have one day. So the next thing is Tarzan's Treehouse. So it used to be Swiss Family Robinson Treehouse, and it got all converted to be Tarzan themed. It is cool. It's like a walkthrough type thing, lots of stairs and stuff, so keep that in mind. But like, it's cool, but it's like, if you are limited on time, I don't think it's like a must do. I will say though, now that I'm saying that, you can get a really spectacular view.
That's
of the whole park.
I like it. I'm not like I don't need to do that. I probably do it every time we're there.
Yes.
But I will say that it's probably, apart from the train, I'd say it's probably even better than the train of getting a view of the park.
Yes.
Seeing.
So if you're into, if you're into looking at like the overview of the park, it gives you like a bird's eye view of the park almost. Like, you're really high up there to look over it. But, and I mean, to be fair, it's pretty quick. You can kind of hoof through it in 10 minutes. So if you think you want to do it, maybe come back to it later.
Yeah.
But anyways. The next one is New Orleans Square, Nolens.
Yeah.
So the first one I am there is Pirates of the Caribbean. This one is amazing. Again, super immersive. Obviously this ride was around far before the movies were. It's another oldie. Just a real display of like very impressive animatronics and sets, and it's just so cool. From the second you step into the darkness there and you hear the music and you get loaded into the pirate boats and you see all the people eating at the Blue Bayou, and which is like an indoor restaurant that's actually in the ride. Same thing as kind of the two previous rides, actually. It's just very immersive and lots to see. Keep your eyes open, because every time I'm on that ride, I swear I notice something new, and I've been on it a lot. So yeah, it's just a nice one because you kind of stay on it again for, it's like a 15-minute ride.
Yeah.
And you're in your boat and you kind of just drift along and enjoy. It's, yeah, not much else to say. Just worth doing for sure. Then Haunted Mansion is incredible. It's,
This one sometimes has the fast pass.
It goes back and forth, but so it might have a fast pass, but it also might not.
Always have it when it's the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But yeah, the lineup is really cool again. I mean, I could probably just not say that because they're all really cool, but there's like gravestones and they all say different things on them. We actually just learned from another podcast that they have the names of some Imagineers who have passed away, and they have like, but they have like kind of like a silly little blurb like to kind of commemorate them and stuff, which is cool.
I think some of them just worked on it too.
Yeah.
Not necessarily passed away is what I was meaning.
Oh, I thought it was ones like in memory of is what they said, but
yeah,
I could be wrong.
No, I didn't want to claim anyone was dead.
No. Maybe not dead, I don't know. Okay. And then the actual ride has a very cool, so the first thing, you get ushered in to the actual building, house, mansion.
Yeah.
And then you kind of mosey along in your group and you go into this big room. And in that room, there's kind of like this introduction to the whole thing. And I won't say too much, but the walls stretch, and then things mm-hmm. reveal themselves, and then you have to find a way out. That might make no sense to anybody that haven't been on it, but
yeah.
Okay, and then after the doors open, you're released from this room, and you walk down this dark, spooky hallway, where the pictures do some really cool effects and changes, and then you basically, same thing, you're just kind of in a big cluster of people, and then you eventually get into this kind of line, and then you go and hop into your doom buggy.
That sits, like, three people?
Three,
two or three.
Moderately sized people.
Yeah.
Depending on how big the people are, it could get a little tight in the hips, so keep that in mind. But yeah, I think we've generally been able to do three people, like in my family, but
yeah,
no one's exceptionally large, so and definitely like a parent with two kids would totally work, no problem.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's I feel like I'm just repeating myself for all the rides. It's like so immersive, and there's so much to see. Well, but it's true of all of them. It's kind of hard to explain.
Well, you don't want to give it away if
no.
you haven't been, is one thing.
I mean,
thing.
It's a haunted mansion, so whatever you imagine that to be, I mean, it's probably in there. There's ghosts, there's ghouls, there's
yeah.
eerie music. It's just really unique.
Yeah, and there's, I guess if we're just going on stuff there, it's called, I think it's what's called the Omni Mover. So there's another ride in California Adventure that uses it. It's basically, there's a bunch of little carts that you get in and they just keep moving. So the line in that one moves pretty quick. Like you're never stopping to load people in.
Mm-hmm.
Like you walk onto a moving pathway, like a conveyor belt, you walk onto that and then you walk off the conveyor belt into the ride vehicle. Like,
yeah.
So it's a fast loading ride.
It is.
Probably,
yeah.
I think it gets the most people through it of any ride in the park.
Probably, and when you're in the lineup too, even if it's a long line, it's always moving, so you never feel like you've been standing in the same place. Like, it's kind of just constantly moving. And
yeah, they bring in people in the big batches into the mansion,
yeah.
and then you wait, and then another big batch.
Yeah. And yeah, we talked about what the holiday version of that is in our holiday episode.
Yep.
Which was episode 9.5.
9.5, because
yeah.
we wanted to make this 10.
It's important. 10. Okay, next land is Critter Country. And the first ride there, Splash Mountain, which is like the only ride, I think, in both the parks that I'm still genuinely afraid of.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Just that hill does it to me. I don't know.
It's got a big drop, which you can see. So if you're afraid of things... of the unknown and stuff like
that.
It's
deceptive though, because it shows you some of it, but then you keep plunging a fair while after that.
You can see how steep it is.
But yes.
It's not.
Yes. There's no, like, yeah. So this one is based on...
Well, I think it's Song from the South is what a lot of the characters are from.
Yeah.
Which we haven't seen because I don't know how you see it, unless you have VH. S from way back when.
Yeah. But it's got like, what is the bear's name?
Brer Rabbit,
Brer Fox, Brer Bear. Yeah. So all those characters. Basically it's just like a little story. It's their story.
Yeah.
I won't say too much else about it. It's a really cute story. And then it actually ends quite darkly with yes. Rabbits do. And then in the actual, because the whole ride is basically inside for the most part.
Yeah.
There's little bits where you kind of go outside. I will say, so inside, and I'm just saying this for the people with children or if you're someone who's sensitive to hills and stuff, which I always was as a kid, inside there are a couple of little woo kind of like
yeah
miniature hills, but like by miniature I mean literally like a little dip kind of
yeah.
thing, but it gives you that little stomach drop feeling because you don't really know what's coming, kind of. And
yeah.
then there is another one outside that's like a smaller hill.
Yeah.
But it's more of a hill, but it's
yeah.
smaller. And then you're kind of like, oh, that was nice. And then you, once you're back inside and you go and there's these creepy little ravens.
Vultures.
Vultures, not ravens. And they're basically taunting you as you go tick, 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 tick up the hill. And you're like, oh, wow, we're going tick, tick, tick for a while here. And then you get to the top and all hell breaks loose. And yeah, you go plummeting. And I always scream every single time.
It is a big drop, especially for
big drop.
Disneyland.
Yeah.
You get wet. Just expect to get wet.
Expect to get wet, yes. And sometimes you might be the weird person who lucks out and doesn't. Sometimes you're gonna be the unlucky person who gets like totally drenched.
Yeah.
It's like there's no rhyme or reason to it, as far as I know. I mean, I'm sure there is some physics reason to it all, but it seems random who gets hit. Like, there's no particular spot in the log that you can sit where you are guaranteed to get less wet. Because every time I feel like I think, oh, this is the best place to sit to not get too wet, and then it's not.
Yeah, I think that's one thing I'm sure you can look up online, and I'm sure there's a way that people stack the thing so that they get drenched. A group of people that go, I guarantee it's online somewhere in a forum or something that say, hey, stack it like this, and you'll get soaked or something like that. But I'd say the biggest thing is just be aware that your shoes, basically, even if you don't get splashed,
your shoes will.
You'll probably get wet feet.
Yeah, because the boat like fills.
It gets
water.
It can get into the boat and slosh around in there. So just be aware of that.
But yeah, that one's definitely a good thrill. Of course, if you're someone who's been to like a lot scarier places, like for example, Jurassic Park ride in Universal Studios, you're gonna be like, Splash Mountain is no big deal. But it's different, okay? Also, I will say, just in the Jurassic Park one, if you've been to Universal, it's a bigger hill, but they have like you're strapped in to the boat. This one is just, you're just sitting in the boat, like you're just loose in there. So,
and this one, Fast Pass and photos.
Yes, Fast Pass and photos. Make sure you try and do something for the photo, unless you're just too terrified, like me, and you just end up looking like a fool in all of them. So the next one in Critter Country is The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. That one I have as a skip. Not that it's a bad ride, but like I said, there's just some things where I think you could skip it if you don't have the time.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. If you got one day.
This is a pretty packed day that I have.
Yeah.
It's pretty ambitious, but it's doable. But so you definitely have to skip a few things to make it work.
It's probably going to be a 10-minute wait, probably 5-minute ride. So you're looking
20 minutes all said and done or something. Yeah.
But it is.
If you add up all the things I've skipped in this whole thing, you add up all those 15, 20 minutes and it ends up being like a couple hours. So you have to think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cute ride though. So if you do have time or if you are returning to the park, definitely give it a go. No, it's not like advanced.
Yeah, no.
It's pretty basic. Lots of cardboard cutouts and whatnot. Cardboard, but whatever.
Wood, painted wood and things like
that.
Yeah,
but it's cute.
Less animatronics than any of the other rides we've mentioned so far.
Okay, and then Frontierland has Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, which has been updated. Sorry, that was my text message. And yeah, that one has been updated in the past few years.
Yeah, it's been updated a few times.
Yeah, it's
been retracked and then just updated some experiences on it.
Yeah.
Animatronic sounds, things like that.
Yeah, and for any, just because I always think about if I'm the one listening to these podcasts, if there's anyone who's ever read anything about, there was an accident on that ride quite a long time ago now.
Yeah.
But they learned from that. It was something about the structure of the track that even let that happen, and it's been all completely redone, like, so that could not happen again. Like, so just be assured. If you look up how many things have gone wrong in Disneyland, there are very few. This was one that was, for me as a kid, it scared me because it was something, nobody did anything wrong, it just happened. So
like pretty much all the other ones were
people being stupid.
For the most part, people being stupid, all the other accidents.
Yes. So, and there's, like I said, there hasn't been many, but just know that this one has all been redone and it's very safe now. So it is a really fun ride. It's so fun.
It is. It's a good ride for lifting your hands up.
The lineup moves fast, and it's good for people who think that, like, they don't like roller coasters, because I have a friend who is, like, terrified of roller coasters, but she loves Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. Like, it's one of her favorite rides in Disneyland.
Yeah.
And our younger niece, not younger, but whatever. I guess she's our oldest niece. She's young, but she's our oldest. She really liked it, I think, that one.
Yeah, no.
And she was only 5'4" when we went, so.
It's fast, it's noisy.
Fast, noisy, but you have, like, you know, a little lap bar that kind of makes you feel like you're in there, and it's very solid feeling ride, so you never feel like you're gonna fall out of it or anything. So you are moving fast, but it's kind of a thrilling thing versus scary. Like, yeah, it's just nice.
Yeah, no, it's, and that one's got fast pass.
Yes, it does. And then the next thing I have is lunch at one of two places. I tried to give two options for each of the meals. So the first one I have is the Golden Horseshoe, which is partially about the food, partially about the atmosphere.
Yeah.
So there's actually a show at the Golden Horseshoe. It's pretty cheesy, but it's like a Western type show. And the food there is pretty good. They have really good, like, chicken tenders, and I actually had a salad there that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, it's decent food. I think they also have, like, ice cream sundaes and stuff there that you can get.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that may be the Stage Door Cafe, actually.
I think the Stage Door has just the food. I think Golden Horseshoe has the...
Oh, yeah, it's the same thing. It's just one's, like, the outside and one's the inside, yeah. The other option is, this would involve backtracking a bit to Adventureland, is Bengal Barbecue, which they've expanded their menu recently. They used to just have basically, like, skewers, so, like, you know, chicken, pork, beef. They had vegetable skewers. They had, like, tiger tails, which are, like, cheese twist things. And bacon-wrapped
asparagus.
But now they have something I really like. It's, like, this little veggie and hummus thing that you can get. And also they've made it so that you can make any of your skewer things, like, a meal. So it would come with, like, rice and...
I think rice and something.
So you can kind of, like, make it more of a meal than just, like, meat.
It's not the cheapest place there, but I would say from most people I've talked to, lots of podcasts I've listened to, it's probably the nicest counter-served food.
Yes.
Like, quick service food. Fresh. That you can get probably in almost any theme park.
Yeah.
If you're into skewers and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, I'd say if you kind of, like... If you're kind of done with, like, some of the more heavy, greasy food that you can sometimes end up eating, it's, like, just really nice meat skewers. And like I said, they have the really nice, like, vegetable and hummus. It's all really fresh and yummy. So if you're kind of craving that kind of food, it's a good place to go.
But you are looking at $5 or $6, I think it is, for one skewer. Which you're probably going to want, if you're eating just that, you're going to want two.
You're going to want at least two, and also, I don't remember how much it was to upgrade to the meal, because you could do that as well now.
I think it was like $15, got you two skewers, rice, and whatever, something else.
I knew veggies or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, something like that.
But anyways, it's really popular. I think we talked about it. That's one thing, if you do end up using apps or anything like that in the park, and you are backtracking to that one, maybe put in a mobile order for that guy.
Yeah.
It'll save you some time.
Yeah. One thing I will say is, I should have said it after the breakfast one, but if you are trying to do Disneyland on more of a budget, which my family always was, because it was my parents and they had three kids, stuff is expensive in Disneyland. The food is very expensive. So, if you look into it, a lot of hotels offer breakfast, like complimentary breakfast as part of their stay. So there's always that option. And also, like, when we were younger, we literally, like, brought in, like, bagels and stuff from the breakfast buffets. And, like, we had, like, peanut butter or, like,
cream cheese sandwiches, just like literally just something to eat that we didn't have to buy in the park kind of thing. So you can also bring things with you or buy from a local grocery store, like to make sandwiches or whatever. Just wanted to put that out there that yeah. all the meals can add up quite a bit. So the next thing will be Fantasyland. Fantasyland is behind Sleeping Beauty's castle, I guess you would say. And the first ride in there will be Pinocchio's Daring Journey. This one generally is a very tame lineup. Like, I mean, tame as in short.
Yeah.
Like, if you're lucky, sometimes there's, like, no lineup. You just, like, walk right onto the ride. Other times, it's, like, 5 or 10 minutes. There's been the odd time where I have seen it higher, but not really. But it's a good ride. I mean, I enjoy it. It's... takes you basically, yeah, through the story of Pinocchio. That's kind of what all the Fantasyland ones are in regards to, like, the movie. It's like a portion of the movie or kind of the whole storyline. Pinocchio does a pretty good job doing the whole storyline.
Yeah.
And then Snow White's Scary Adventures is a portion of the story. So it's like Snow White, you know, running through the scary woods, and it ends with the witch cackling on the end of the cliff, and that's the end of the ride. So it's like totally random, but I guess it's her scary adventure. It's not like her happily ever after, right? So, and then also the Sleeping Beauty castle walkthrough is really worth doing. You basically just go up into the castle, and they have the story of Sleeping Beauty kind of in these big animated books that where you can actually read the story, and then they usually there's like an accompanying little visual thing with like little kinds of effects and lights and stuff like that. It's really neat.
This one I know has like a... some of them do. I don't know all of them. And obviously, if you're in a wheelchair or if you have mobility issues, talk to someone at the like City Hall guest service, this thing. But that one does have a accessibility version.
Yeah.
Because it's got a bunch of stairs in it.
Yeah.
So that is one that you can get into.
Yeah.
That I don't remember exactly where it is.
Yeah. That would be another... I just thought of it now. That would be another episode worth doing. It would be like... figuring out which rides are accessible
to
people with mobility issues or wheelchairs or whatever.
Yeah, that is one thing I'm...
I know with the new rides, they make a lot more effort. I don't know how much they've done to modify older ones.
Yeah.
Like, you can't, like... I mean, for a lot of them, you have to be able to transfer.
That's what I was going to say, is that the majority of them, it's wheelchair transfer.
Yeah.
So if you can do that, then... you're okay, but a lot of them... I think you can get to all the rides.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's any that you can't get to.
Yeah.
But you have to transfer once you get to it.
Yeah, I mean, which is kind of... you can't make rides that can fit wheelchairs on them. Like, in an ideal world, yes, you would, but it's... yeah, anyways, that's a different conversation for a different time. King Arthur Carousel... is a carousel. It's got horses and all kinds of other...
You can stand on it as a parent.
With
your kids. Yeah. Whatever.
It's fun. It's a carousel. I mean, what's not to like?
Yeah, there's sometimes bands and stuff playing on the things.
Yep. So. Sometimes characters riding on it.
Yep.
Casey Jr. Circus Train. I have this one as a skip because, like I mentioned earlier, the whole time thing. It is a cute ride. It's just like a train, like you sit in the little train car, and it's very, very kiddie, but it's cute. And then, of course, Dumbo, the flying elephant, is a must. You get in there, and you have your little control stick, and if you want to have some fun, you can go up and down, or you can stay up high the whole time. Usually quite a long lineup, because it is... not many people fit in it, and it does last for a couple of minutes at least. I don't know how long you're actually up there, but it's worth the wait. It's fun. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. That's another one that's got a short lineup usually. And not everyone really has seen that movie, but it's...
Well, it's not... It's off of Mr. Toad, but it's not actually... It's its own story.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know. I just mean not everyone knows who Mr. Toad
yeah.
is. He's an interesting character.
Yeah.
So if you've seen the movie, he's an interesting character, but he's also got his own little interesting story in the ride as well. And it's fun. It's amusing.
Yeah, I'd say it makes a little more sense if you've seen Mr. Toad, but only in the sense of you know who Mr. Toad is.
And then he's
because
like
none of it makes
off
sense.
His rocker.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Peter Pan's Flight. I think we've done a Magic Man on that one. That one's really cool because you're actually like in the sky, like in the boat and everything. So you're like you're up above everything, which is really magical and it's just a super cool ride. Mad Tea Party, I have as a skip. I actually have not gone on Mad Tea Party in probably 10 or so years. It's usually a long line, and I'm not myself big on the ones where I'm getting like...
Well, it's a dressed up theme park, like dressed up carnival ride.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
It's not quite the same.
It's spinning. You just spin.
Yeah.
Spin. Alice in Wonderland is another really cool one. There's usually a pretty hefty wait for that one.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you see the canal boats?
The canal boats?
Storybook? Canal boat?
I haven't gotten to them yet.
Oh.
They're still on the list.
Oh. Well, you said Casey Jr. Train, that's
yeah.
all.
Yeah. I just did it, like, according to, like, the Disneyland map list.
Oh.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And then I wrote, Pixie Hollow, what is this? So
oh.
I should have done my research prior to this.
Oh, that
but...
is... I don't know how you get into it. It's the... If you're going into Tomorrowland, you turn left and go into, like, the bushes, basically.
Okay.
And that's where, like, Tinkerbell and her fairy friends
okay,
hang out.
Okay.
I don't know if you can get into
those
there.
Those the character meet and greet.
Yeah.
Okay.
As well from Fantasyland, I'm sure you can, but we've not ventured in there. We haven't walked that way since it became that. Except for, I think, during the marathon. We
yeah.
through there.
Yeah.
That's where Tinkerbell was when we went
okay.
on the...
Next is Matterhorn Bobsleds. That one you can see from a lot of places in the park. It's the big white mountain.
Yeah.
It's really fun. It's best to go on... Well, okay. If you have young children or you yourself like a tamer ride, go on in the morning. Because it's slower in the morning. Like, significantly slower in the morning.
Yeah.
It's still a decently, like, jostly kind of ride. You do get jostled around, but in the morning it's way, way slower. And then by the time you get to, like, evening, if you want one where you're, like, whipping around corners and stuff, that is the time to go.
And you get a great view.
Oh, my God. That ride, it's such a... For me, it's always a toss-up because, like, I love that ride because it is so thrilling. And, like, at night, I don't know, it's just so exhilarating. Like, the cool air in your face and the view of Disneyland and whipping around the corners. Like, it's so fun. But, like, you do get, like, pretty knocked around in it. You kind
yeah.
of, you really have to, like, hold on and brace yourself, kind of.
Yeah, I would advise if you have anything, like, try and put as much as you can in a bag that will fit in their little thing.
Yeah.
Like, because if you're trying to hold on to something or sit on it, it's going to just, it's already an uncomfortable ride.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to, like, hold a bag between your knees or something, it's not going to be fun.
My other... thing that I always wonder, I'm like, should I always try and, like, I'll be like, should I brace myself, or should I just go, like, a limp puppet and just, like, let it take me? Because, like, I've tried that before, and it almost is better, because you're not, like, fighting the movement, you kind of just, like, turn, you know that game where you, when you're little, and you, like, just go floppy in the car?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't know, I used to play with my friends and stuff, where you just, like, go limp, and then, like, when the car moves, you, like, jiggle around. Anyway.
I didn't play that game.
So, yeah, there's that option for you. And then the next one is the Storybook Land Canal Boats. I have this as a skip, but Greg actually hasn't been on this one or the Casey Jr. Circus Train, so we will be going on both of those on our next trip. But yeah, it's, you go, I don't even remember, to be honest, what you do. You're in a boat and you go through monstrous mouth.
Well, from what I understand, the train and the boat do the same.
They do, they're in the same area, yeah.
One's a train, one's a boat, and you just, it's like, well, you can see it from the, from, like, Fantasyland, you can see parts of the ride, it's just sort of miniature garden castles, things like that.
Yeah. And then, it's a small world.
Yeah.
That one is, like, if you have not been on it, which I keep saying this, but we're assuming you haven't been there. You have to go on it. It's, like, iconic. It's headache-inducing, but iconic. So.
It's a long ride.
It's long.
I'd say it's about 12 minutes, and that is the only song that plays.
Yep, and beware that your boat might sink. We were on it one time, and there was something off with our boat, and it was like, we were, like, sinking. We didn't actually sink, but, like, it was kind of like, oh my god, like, is this right?
If you do go on it, take a look for the Disney characters.
Yes, that's pretty
cool. That they have hiding.
That's fun.
Throughout the...
They look like all the other dolls, but they've done them up like Disney characters, which is fun. And then the last thing I have for Fantasyland is Mickey's Magical Map, which is a newer show. It's just in the theater. I don't know how to explain where it is.
It's a Small World.
Yeah, it's by.
It's in its own little kind of corner.
Yeah. We went and saw that for the first time a few years ago, and that was when it came out, I think.
Yeah.
And it's really good. Really, one of those, like, really high-quality Disney shows. Like, if you've ever been to, like, Disney Cruise or Disney on Ice, or if you've seen, like, the Hyperion Theater, those types of shows, like, same amount of talent, like, the people who sing and the dancing is all, like, incredible, so definitely recommend that one. And then I have on here, there is a parade going on always in Disneyland, but I said skip because I'm not a parade person. And honestly, like, the amount of time that gets eaten up by waiting for a good spot and then watching the whole parade go by, it's kind of like, you're going to catch glimpses of it anyways, wandering through the park.
Yeah.
I don't myself feel the need to sit there and watch it. With the exception of, like, Paint the Night or something. But that's in the nighttime anyway.
You can take a look at the schedule when the parades are and maybe try to get yourself on one side or the other of the park. Like, if you're wanting to go to Tomorrowland, the parade starting in 10 minutes, maybe just boogie over there instead of... you can cross the parade, but you'll have
only
to wait
cross
for
points.
Certain breaks.
Little flaggers will come and, like, let people across.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But you can sit and watch it if you want, but it's a time investment.
It is.
Probably.
And, like, they're good. Obviously, they're good. They're fun. They're, again, there's lots of talented people doing cool dancing and all that and really cool things. But I've never been a parade person. I think it's just, I don't have patience for it.
Yeah.
But next is dinner. So dinner, your budgetary option is, well, outside of bringing your own food, is Jolly Holiday. That one is really cool. Actually, it's a smaller place. Like. But the food there is really nice. Like, they have really nice sandwiches, like, on croissants, and really nice bread. And they're all, like, really made fresh in there, like, with, like, really freshly sliced meat and all that kind of stuff. There's a little salad that I really like there. I think they have some really yummy dessert stuff. You know?
Well, it's, I would say it's a very dessert-heavy place.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of...
It's a cafe.
Yeah.
Yes.
It could be your favorite dessert place as well as your favorite lunch place.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
We have a funny joke from when we were there.
Oh. Is it a joke?
Not a joke. A story?
Yeah.
We
we got our food and we decided how pretty would it be to sit outside and like look at all the, you know, look down Main Street and look at all the people. So we bring our food outside and like there was some crazy wind going on and there's like all these umbrellas and stuff outside there and everything was just like blowing around like crazy. And like all the people who were sitting outside like got up and left and we're like sitting there with like everything blowing, all our napkins are blowing away and everything.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was funny. You had to be there. Your other much more expensive option is the Blue Bayou. This is also the one that you're going to want to book prior to your trip because those spots get taken up pretty quickly. So you have to backtrack to Main Street for Jolly Holiday or to New Orleans for Blue Bayou. And the Blue Bayou is the one that is inside the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. We've done it a few times, and it's really yummy food, really good service, and just such a cool atmosphere. So, I mean, if you can do it, because it's fun, but it's definitely expensive. Like, for two people, you're looking at, like, $100 for dinner.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, it's not cheap, that one.
No.
Just one thing is, if you're going there for your first time, you'll definitely want a map. Like,
yes.
I'm just saying, I'm thinking specifically of Blue Bayou. Main Street's got a lot of signs that are all lit up and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, Blue Bayou is off in, like, its little...
When you get... past Main Street, there's not big marquees telling you where everything is.
No.
Like, you can miss...
Well, Blue Bayou's in a little back alley kind
yeah.
of thing. Like,
There's, why can't I think of it? I don't know, they used to sell baked potatoes and stuff like that over in Frontierland. I can't
yeah.
think of the name of it.
The little, like, wagon. It was like a big wagon.
It's, like, right by the water.
Yeah, but it was, like, in a big wagon that they sold it out of.
Yeah, and they sell, like, lobster and something now. Anyways, you wouldn't know it was there.
No.
If you didn't look on the map or wander over there.
Yeah.
Like, there's stuff that, like I said, it's... Everything's done themed to the area. So Main Street is big, glitzy signs, but Blue Bayou is a fairly modest sign, and it's
yeah.
in like cursive, so
kind of gives you that feeling like you're in the know, like, oh yeah, I'm going to that special place.
Yeah, so just be aware that like some of the stuff is kind of, it's not all flashy out in the open, and you know exactly where everything is. So.
Yeah, no, yeah, definitely grab a map and a show schedule when you go. They're always at the, like the front turnstile things. Next is Toontown. So. Toontown is one that I basically didn't even go in when I was a kid because my dad was like, Toontown's stupid, I don't want to go in there. So there is the Gadget Go Coaster, which I've never been on, so I can't really say anything about it. It's a kid roller coaster in Toontown, and it's themed after Go-Go Gadget or whatever his name is.
Go-Go Gadget?
Inspector
no.
Gadget. No?
No.
Who's Gadget then?
From Tailspin.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
I thought it was Inspector Gadget. And I was like, Inspector Gadget's not even Disney.
No, it's from Tailspin.
Oh, Tailspin.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, so it's like blue or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like airplane or something.
I think it's just Gadget made it. So the, whatever, the girl.
Oh, was that her name?
Yeah.
I haven't watched it in a long time.
Yeah, so Tailspin is an old Disney afternoon cartoon.
Yes. It was like Scrooge and...
Baloo and Chippendale.
Yeah.
And unless I'm mixing... I don't know. There's Rescue Range.
No, Baloo is definitely
yeah.
Scrooge and Huey, Dewey, and Louie are in it. Then there
yes.
was the girl. The lady, though. That wasn't Gadget.
She's the Lady Chipmunk.
Lady Chipmunk, because there's like the lady with the fancy hair and like the pink sweater.
Yeah, no, Gadget's the Lady Chipmunk.
Okay, and then there is Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin, which I honestly don't even remember this ride. All I remember is the lineup.
It's claustrophobic.
It's claustrophobic and it's dark and it's just like never ending. This is a skip because
the lineup can get really long. It does have a fast pass, but I feel like it's just a waste. So, yeah, I don't know. It's okay. Honestly, like you said, I don't remember the actual ride portion. I just remember the lineup and sitting on a barrel because I was so done standing.
If you're a fan of Roger Rabbit, obviously,
yes,
get on that.
Yeah.
And if you've got little kids, I went there when I was little.
Yes.
Take your kids into Toontown.
Yeah. Oh, no, I wasn't done with that.
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say next, character houses. That's the prime appeal of Toontown, which we did a couple of the houses on our honeymoon, and we got some signatures from Minnie and all that stuff. And yeah, it's cool. The houses have a lot of details in them.
Yeah. And there's lots of, we haven't been there in a while. There's lots of things to do in Toontown, games, stuff to play with and stuff. It's like a playground.
Yeah.
So if you've got kids that maybe are done waiting in lines, it's a good place to
Interactive, yeah. And yeah, for the houses, they have Mickey's house, Minnie's house, Goofy, Donald, and Chip and Dale. So.
And Mickey, if you're a Mickey fan, you get to walk through all of his house, and then you finally get to the lineup to meet him. I think some of the other characters are in front of their houses, and the Mickey in his house can be one of numerous different Mickeys.
Right.
Like Sorcerer Mickey or Steamboat Willie or things like that.
Okay. And then next is Tomorrowland. So Finding Nemo's Submarine Voyage is in there.
Is that as a must do?
No, that's a skip.
Can't leave the park without doing that.
The lineup is usually not short, even though it's been around for a long time now. It's not a new ride anymore. And the ride itself takes 20 minutes.
It is a long ride.
And you get submerged. Originally there was a submarine ride, and it was literally just a submarine, and it went underwater, and it was like being under the sea. They had themed it like under the sea. It was always a long ride, though.
Yeah.
This one, though, is themed like Finding Nemo, obviously. But it's just, you're in a submarine, like a real submarine. It's small. And there's tiny windows. And it's very claustrophobic. So if you're someone who does not like tight and closed spaces, do not go on this ride, at all.
Yeah, because it is,
it's not like,
I don't think, sometimes I don't expect people to be dumb. Especially, if you're listening to this show. But it's a submarine, it goes under the water, and they need to make, the other thing is it's on a track.
Yeah.
It's a submarine on a track, so.
It goes slow.
It goes slow and it goes around the water. If, it's got to do its loop.
Yeah.
You're not getting off that ride.
No. It's,
you might,
I'm sure they have some procedure in place if something goes horrifically wrong.
But you can't you can't be like.
Yeah, no, or if your kid is on it and they're freaking, most of the ride, you have an out, there's an emergency exit. This one, I don't know about that.
Yeah, Susie said, I'm sure there's some procedure.
There has to be.
Evacuation procedure, but it's going around the water.
Yeah,
And you're in a little submarine.
I think our memory of it is really, we went on it when it opened and we waited in a really long lineup, and then we went on it and we were like, oh, that was kind of okay. And then we decided, foolishly, I think it was on our honeymoon, were like, we're going to close down the park. What can we go on? And we're like, hey, there's no lineup for Finding Nemo. It was midnight, so the park was about to close. And so we got on Finding Nemo, and it was us and this mom with her little snot-nosed kid. He was being a little brat. And we were so tired and hot, because it was August. And then we go down in the submarine, and I remember as soon as we went under, I was like, no. I was like, why did we do this?
Just with that, that's a good just little note, is that if you get in a lineup before closing, you'll get on the ride.
Yeah, so if the park is closing on the hour, if you get in there on the 59, you can go on that ride.
I mean, some of that might change with the new, with Galaxy's Edge opening.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be consistent, but when,
no, you could get in a ride that's 3 hours long.
Yeah,
they've done that
for ride openings, is that people are, you're in a 3-hour lineup.
Yeah.
at midnight.
They have, they know, like, that is how they staff themselves. Like, their cast numbers, like, they know that they're late sometimes.
Yeah, so yeah. It might change with Galaxy's Edge, because I don't know if they'll want 3-hour lineups every night, but...
Yeah.
As of this recording, yeah, when Tower of Terror reopened, it was, I think, 4 or 5-hour lineup at midnight.
Well, Tower Terror.
Guardians of the Galaxy,
yeah.
Mission Breakout.
Yeah. And then there is Autopia, which is super fun. I'm so glad we did that on this most recent trip.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what it sounds like. It's little cars, and then you go around a track. But I mean, even as an adult, I still get a kick out of it, even though I can drive a real car now. But as a kid, it's, like, super fun. And as an adult, it's kind of whimsical. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a classic.
It's a classic, yeah. The
yeah,
smell.
Literally.
The smell of gasoline in the air.
they did not upgrade those
yeah,
to electric cars.
They could
cars.
Probably make those a little more environmentally friendly. Because, yeah, you definitely feel a little bit high after you get
they just,
that ride.
And they just updated, like, portions of the ride.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Honda now, like
yeah.
Awesome-O, the like Honda robot and his little.
It's like, how are these not
like
little mini Teslas?
How did Honda not like?
Like you can thing? Still make it make the noise and everything.
Yeah,
like,
right,
anyways.
Yeah. Funny.
And then Space Mountain, which is one of my favorite rides.
Oh, I think we stopped mentioning stuff. That's one's got Fast Pass.
Oh yeah, none of the Fantasyland ones do.
Matterhorn has one. Does now.
Does now, okay. And then, oh yeah, I mentioned Roger Rabbit.
Yep.
Has that one.
I think we mentioned them. Splash Mountain. Freedom.
Oh yeah, no. I was just going back. We mentioned them in the last portion of work. Space Mountain has a Fast Pass. It is amazing. Go on it.
Yeah.
The lineup is... very, like, it used to be that you walked through, like, this whole, like, the inside halls of some space station and stuff like that, but, you still do walk through it, but they used to actually have the lineup in there. Now, the lineup is mostly outside, and then in, like, a covered area, and then you just basically walk through the tunnels, directly into, like, the launch bay. And then when you're in the launch bay, the lineup goes so fast because there's so many distractions. Like there's a big space rocket thing hanging from the ceiling and you can see the people getting loaded into the cars and stuff. This ride is amazing. It's like super fast. It's in the dark. Like you're in space and there is wicked music playing in your own individual speaker set that is on each like headset for each person. It just
takes a photo at the end.
It is just thrilling. I love it. You cannot be on that ride and not have a smile on your face. Unless you're scared of roller coasters or the dark. Kids, I would be cautious with this one.
I wanna own one of those.
Yeah.
That's all I have to call.
Yeah. Star Tours. This is another classic. To me, it will always be... It's going to be weird now because it won't be in Galaxy's Edge. It's going to be just like this one-off in Tomorrowland, but...
Yeah, I don't know how long that's going to last. They just redid it.
Yeah.
Like,
so
the
now,
lineup.
It's
climate is...
incredible.
It's probably, I would say, the best...
Yeah.
Done lineup in
the updated one for sure.
In
yeah.
the two parks.
But yeah, it's a motion simulator. So now they have many different adventures. So you're not gonna necessarily get the same one every time. Which is cool. It's fun. Astro Orbiter is basically like Dumbo, but you're in little spaceships and it's not worth the long line. Because if you're going to do that type of ride, do Dumbo. Because Dumbo is classic and you're in Dumbo. These are just kind of like... I mean, it's a cool looking structure, I will say. Like, that, you know, can be there. But the ride itself is kind of like meh.
I think it goes higher than Dumbo.
It does go higher than Dumbo, yes. And then Buzz Lightyear Astro Blasters. This is another one I said skip. It's a fun ride, but it's basically just like being... It's like an interactive video game. Like, you go around in a little space thing, space buggy, and you basically... There's targets throughout the ride that you shoot with your, like, laser gun, and... You encounter like Zurg and like the kind of Zurg universe and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's cool, but like, yeah.
That one and Star Tours also have Fast Pass.
Right.
Wouldn't use Fast Pass on Buzz Lightyear.
No, Buzz Lightyear's like always 10 minutes.
Like, yeah. It's one of those ones that's on the like Omni Mover kind of thing.
Yeah. So it's deceptive. Like sometimes you're like, oh wow, that line does not look like 10 minutes. It is. That's another thing I will mention is if it says a time on a ride, like, for how long the line is, it's right.
Yeah, unless something goes wrong.
Yeah.
Which...
No matter what you think looking at it, because there have been so many times where I've looked at a ride, I've been like, there's no way this is 30 minutes. There's no way this is this long. And you literally look at your watch, and from the time you get in the line to the time you get off the ride is like the time it says on the sign, like without fail. So just remember that. If you see a line that looks scary, look at the sign and see what it says. Before deciding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're pretty bang on with that stuff.
Yeah. And then the Rivers of America, there is Fantasmic, which I'm sad is not there for us this time, but it's generally going all year, but apparently not right now. Well, right now it is, but when we go at the beginning of February, it won't be. But yeah, it's a... pyrotechnic projection show in the water. There's
stunt show.
It's incredible. You have to watch it. When I was little, we were never the family that were staking out a spot early, but it's one of the ones that's worth staking out a good spot for, because if you get a good spot, it's just like mind-blowing how incredible it is. And I mean, there's areas where you can kind of chill around there. I don't know if they let you do it anymore.
I don't think they do because it's Fast Pass now. You get
It's all different. It's okay, like never mind. Now. Disregard that. It used to be that you could stake out a spot on the lawn like 3 hours before the show.
It's the people, they don't let you do that until they set up the ropes whenever that is.
Yeah.
But then you can start going into your little zone. So people still... Because what will happen is they'll start setting up the ropes and everything like that for the show.
Yeah.
And they'll kick you out if you're sitting there waiting.
Yeah.
So once they've set that up...
So make sure if you want to go to it, you get your Fast Pass.
Yeah.
Which...
And that's a Fastpass cart, so I can't tell you where it is.
Yeah.
They used to be by the dock for the boat.
Yeah.
For the Columbia or the Mark Twain. But they also were around back by Big Thunder. So it should show you on the map. The most recent map will show.
And then, back to Main Street. You have completed your round of the park. So Main Street, you can go shopping. There is literally shops from start to finish of that street. There's everything. There's clothing, there's houseware, there's yummy treats. There's a penny arcade where you can get all kinds of pressed pennies. There's all the other merchandise, you know, toys and just everything. Everything you could possibly think of that you might want to buy is there. And then they also have like lots of good snacks along there, but I put to close out the night, get a snack at Gibson Grill Ice Cream Parlor, or a churro if ice cream is not your thing. But yeah, this is a really cool place. They have all kinds of cool sundaes and stuff like that, or just a good old regular waffle cone or a dipped waffle cone, or yeah, it's really good in there, and it smells amazing when you walk in there. It smells so good.
Don't watch it.
I was going to say, once you have your ice cream, you should take a seat on a bench. Your legs will be tired from all that walking. And just people watch to close out your evening. It's rather pleasant. Disneyland at night is so magical.
Mm-hmm.
It's magical always, but at night it's just like extra magical. Oh, and then there's one other thing. There's the Disneyland story, Moments with Mr. Lincoln. So this is like at the end of Main Street, as of, like, if you're heading out of Disneyland. So this is one of Walt's first animatronic figures. It's Mr. Lincoln. Okay, we're not American, so like the patriotism aspect of it is just not there. But it's like really boring. Like, you're like, oh wow, that's really cool. Like, that animatronic, they made that like so long ago. Like, how impressive. And then you're like, and I'm done.
Yeah, if you're interested in history or very patriotic. So.
Yeah, my dad made us all do it. He was like, let's do Mr. Lincoln. And we were all like, okay. Because we all rolled our eyes.
Right in there, there's also sort of exhibits too in that area.
Yeah.
Of about the parks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
a very cool store with lots of cool paintings and.
Yeah.
What's that one called again?
Disneyania, or whatever.
Yeah.
You say.
Yeah.
There's also this is another one that's kind of hidden. There is a little movie theater along Main Street. I think you can just stand in it and watch some old Mickey shorts and stuff like that. But
yeah.
It is an actual little theater.
Yeah.
It's not just for show. Anything else?
If you have any more energy left in you, maybe you will after that last sugar hit from the ice cream, you should hit up the World of Disney in Downtown Disney just on your way out of the resort, because it's another massive, massive store that's really fun to browse. It also gets pretty nuts in there, so beware.
Yeah. Just with the snacks, they have seasonal snacks and stuff like that, so I was keeping an eye out for those.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, I was tempted to include many snacks in this day because there are so many snack options, but I tried to keep it very realistic in that if you're eating breakfast at one of the restaurants, and then you're eating lunch at one of the restaurants, and then you're eating dinner at one of the restaurants, and then you're picking up an ice cream on your way out of the park. Realistically, you're not going to really want anything else. Like, that's where if you go for more days, there's all kinds of snack options, which we are going to do a snack episode, a snack tour episode. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so the ice cream was kind of the only snack we included, but there are many.
Okay, well, I was just saying they have lots of neat different ones.
Yeah.
Shops in the park normally stay open past closing time, around an hour. So, just if you want to get your shopping done and you have the energy, you can do that.
Yeah, because, like, that day, I believe, took you from, like, it was assuming an 8 a.m. open and, like, a 10 p.m. close, I think, was what that day includes. With a small break somewhere in there if you need it. But yeah, like, that's why I kind of said save shopping for the end, because you can kind of take your time after the park has already closed to do that.
If you're a big fan of any specific land or stuff like that, some of the stuff you can only find in the stores in that land.
Yes.
Even including, the World of Disney store. So, like, you World of Disney store has most of the park merchandise, but not all of it.
Yeah.
So some things you can only,
like,
find.
Adventureland has some very unique merchandise in their stores in particular. There is the Mad Hatter hat shop in Fantasyland, which has way more variety of hats and Mickey ears and all those types of things. So if you're looking for something more unique in the hat direction, they have all kinds there. Those are the only two that really stand out in my mind as being like you could not get stuff.
What is it? Star Traders.
Star Traders, yeah, for sure.
Outside of Star Tours and all.
Yeah,
that.
That's all Star Wars stuff, and yeah, that's a neat store.
And there's the Star Wars launch bay, which I'm assuming is gonna disappear
mm-hmm.
in the near future.
I think it might be gone already. Is that the one with all the games and stuff?
No, that the Starcade.
Oh, the Starcade.
That's
gone.
The launch bay was the like Star Wars thing where I met Darth Vader
oh.
and Boba Fett and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know how long that's gonna hang around with
yeah.
the new land opening, but
yeah.
They've got some merchandise there too.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it. So that's kind of like a full go-round of the park. It's a busy day. It's a lot of walking. I structured it by land because that eliminates doing a lot of back and forth. So, I mean, you can feel free to mix it up too. Like,
yeah.
I mean, obviously this is just our recommendation for a day if you only have a day and that's all you can do. But the most fun is to just grab a map and kind of let it take you.
Yeah, and utilize the fast passes.
Yeah,
or
utilize fast pass.
Max pass if you happen to get that.
Yeah,
it's just way too complicated to tell you what to do with that because
yeah.
it's going to change based on what the park's like that day.
Yeah, and always like the cast members there. I know we've said it before. They're so helpful and so friendly. So, like, if you ever can't find something or you're having a question about how to use a fast pass or any question you could possibly have, just ask a cast member. They will be more than happy to point you in the right direction. So, if you're feeling like you're getting overwhelmed or confused, just utilize the resources there because they are definitely there. And, yeah, just have fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important.
Mm-hmm.
Go slow, take it all in, soak up the details, and yeah, hopefully you'll wanna return.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so that was part one of our episode 10. Part two will be a day in Disney's California Adventure, procured by Greg. Is that the right word? Procured.
Curated
by Greg. And yeah, we'll hopefully release that in the next, well, we'll release this one probably in the next week or so. And then I would expect that one in a month. Let's be realistic. Because we said this one was coming in like November and it didn't. So.
Could you put your, I don't know how you have it written, but could you put all this, in the show notes?
Yes. I have this all laid out in kind of point form format. So I will put it in the show notes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just if you're suggesting ones to skip and hit.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, if you're looking for something that's like a kind of template to go by, and you can kind of use that as your starting point and then kind of customize it as you see fit. That's kind of a nice sometimes to have that something that's been pre-thought out and then to kind of manipulate it.
Right.
Okay. We will stop jabbering.
All right.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you.
And have fun strolling down Main Street. Da-da.